This is Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today is Insight Wednesday, November the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2015. We're going to be doing something I'm kind of excited about. A lot of times I give insights that I have learned from many courses I took at the seminary or from reading. So something I already have known and just waiting for the opportunity to give you in-depth insights into scripture and doctrine. But this particular insight is something that I've learned anew this past week to a level that I had not known before. And it's all due to one of our callers from Open Mic Friday, James, who asked a question to try and explain Thesis 11 of C.F.W. Walther's wonderful lectures on law and gospel. The question before you that I have is, we know when we give the law to someone, that is, when that person doesn't believe they're a sinner, and therefore they don't have any need for a Savior. Because the law is to convict them of their sin. Now, sometimes even Christians don't think they're sinners. Recently, I visited a shut-in assigned by another pastor, and this particular shut-in was undergoing dementia. And so you always got to figure out, do we give them the Lord's Supper when they're not really understanding what's going on? So I asked her the question if she felt she was a sinner. And she said, no, I don't think I am. Now, what do you do in a situation like that? And this is a Christian. So understanding the illness that she's going through, I looked at her and said, are you saying you've never done anything wrong in your entire life? And she thought about it for a moment. She said, I guess I have done something wrong. Yes, I'm a sinner. And it was at that point then we could give her the wonderful good news of the forgiveness of sins, and we gave her the Lord's Supper. So it's pretty easy when you give law. You give the law when somebody is at a point that they don't think they're a sinner. Now, how about the gospel? And that's the question for today. To whom do you give the gospel? If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. You give this gospel to somebody who has become repentant of their sin. Well, that is properly stated, but it depends what you mean by repentant. Let me read this number 11. This is the 11th lecture of C.F.W. Walther, and it's actually the 7th way in which pastors do not rightly distinguish law and gospel. You are not rightly distinguishing law and gospel in the Word of God if you only want to comfort those with the gospel who are contrite because they love God. You also need to comfort people with the gospel who are only contrite because they fear His wrath and punishment. Now, what does that mean? I'm just convinced many people will wait until somebody is sorry for their sin and they really want to love God, but they're unable to do that, and you therefore give them the gospel. There's an advertisement here in St. Louis from an individual who has a large evangelical church, and he talks about, do you love Jesus? Do you want a part of your life? Then say this prayer and He will enter into your life. You see, first of all, that's law, because it's telling you something you have to do. And therefore, it's wrong, because there is no law, no commandment, no guidance for the unbeliever as to what he or she should do in order to become a Christian. They're an unbeliever. And so what this wonderful principle is saying here is you don't wait until somebody tells you, well, I really love God, and then it's time to give them the gospel. A lot of people think that that is, you wait until they're repentant. Well, how many places do I need to show you in the scripture where God does gospel prior to contrition that is properly understood? Let's just take the well-known parable of the prodigal son. Now, I don't think that's a proper name for that, but just for the sake of argument. When this son returns to his father, is he truly repentant? No. As Ken Bailey points out, a wonderful Presbyterian scholar who spent many years in Beirut, Lebanon, he interviewed many, many peasants about these parables. And what he came up with, they said, no, look, it says very clearly in the text, when he began to think about himself, he says, what am I doing feeding these pigs? My father has servants and they get money. I know what I'm going to do. I'll go home. I'll tell him, Dad, I'm sorry for what I did. I've sinned before heaven, before you. Make me one of your most paid hired servant. He's really coming back to manipulate the father. He does not have proper repentance. In fact, he's quite afraid of his father. That's why he's going to give this false confession that he thinks he's a terrible sinner. But the point he's doing it for is to make more money, to be restored to some degree, at least on the farm. What happens? As he is coming home to manipulate his father runs out to him and hugs him. The son is astonished. He did not expect this at all, particularly from someone with whom he is afraid. And that gives us a good insight as to when the gospel is to be given. The gospel is not to be given when a person finally says, boy, I love God and I want him to be in my heart. And I'll tell you why. Because to truly love God is an activity of the spirit in the spiritual realm. And one cannot love God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, this is going to be interesting. You primarily give the law to those who don't think they're sinners. And then you give the gospel to whom? To those who hate God. Wow. They hate God. Well, it's actually an experience that Martin Luther went through. He really did not like God at all because he had a misunderstanding of a passage in Romans where it talked about the righteousness of God. And in 1519, he talks about this. Here's what he says. Now, I hated the term righteousness of God because I have been taught in agreement with the usage and practice of all teachers of that time. I have been taught to understand that term according to the philosophers who claim that God is righteous in himself. As such, he does and works good, and he punishes all sinners and the unrighteous. This righteousness is called essential or active righteousness. So, although I was leading the life of a holy and blameless monk, I discovered that in the sight of God, I was a great sinner. Moreover, my conscience was troubled and distressed. He later confesses, for this reason, I did not at all love this righteous and angry God who punishes sinners. Rather, I hated him and was full of secret anger toward him. It is to such a person that we need to hear the gospel spoken. Let me give you an analogy. How many times have even Christians gone to the doctor and find out they have a terminal illness? Boy, do they get angry at God. Pastors will tell you how many times they've heard, "What did I do to deserve this?" They don't like God then, because maybe they had a lot of plans in their life, and it appears that the doctor says they only have 6 months to live. They may be 30 years old, 40, or 50, but it's way too soon. And they get angry at God. It's at that point that they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel because in their anger at God, they are afraid of God. They recognize and feel God's wrath upon them. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that they need not fear God in Christ because he has come to work all things out for their good. The gospel, therefore, is kind of when you go to a doctor and you have a terrible pain and the doctor says to you, "Oh boy, that's cancer." Oh, you get scared. But then he says, "Well, there is a treatment for that kind of cancer. And in fact, it's 80% successful." Oh, what good news is that? You see, when you are afraid, when you're terrified of God, that's the time to give the gospel. There's a distinction made in this principle of C.F.W. Walther, between godly sorrow of an unbeliever in contrast to worldly sorrow. Let's talk about worldly sorrow first. When a person who's a terrible sinner begins to sorrow because he has wasted the days of his youth, maybe he's ruined his body through drinking, he has become prematurely senile, and that makes him really angry. That is a sorrow of this world. And when he plunges into sorrow over his sins because he's lost some of his prestige or because he's landed in jail, all of this is worldly sorrow. What's godly sorrow? When an unbeliever grieves over his sins because he only understands God as a God of justice who is going to get even with him, and he sees hell before him because he will be punished for having insulted the most holy God. When God becomes his enemy, that's when you give him the gospel. Because what is the gospel? God is not his enemy. He is his friend. So when a person is terrified by the thought of his sins, hell, death, and damnation, and realizes that God is angry with him, that is godly sorrow in contrast to worldly sorrow. When I was doing oral examinations, I think for one of my degrees, I was asked the question, what are the means of grace? And I proudly said, law and gospel. And I remember Dr. Charlemagne, who was one of my questioners, said, "Are you sure, Tom?" And I thought about, oh, wait a minute, no. Only the gospel is the means of grace. But I made a mistake there. But we talk so much about the gospel being a means of grace that we don't understand that the work of the law is also a work of God. And I call it a means of wrath or a means of accusation. In other words, when someone truly has godly sorrow, when they fear God to such a level that they believe hell is their home, that's godly sorrow. And that's when you give the good news of the gospel. That even though we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, we have a God of mercy and grace. And that God of mercy and grace is one that has saved us, has redeemed us. Now, that's part of the reason why a person cannot be in contrition, an unbeliever, because he doesn't yet know he's been redeemed. So there's no basis for loving God. It's kind of like being in prison with a prison guard that really is mean to you. He does all kinds of things that you feel are unjust, and you have no way out of it. That's the attitude you're looking for in a person who really doesn't love God. In fact, if an unbeliever ever says they love God, that's a lie. Because the God that they love, an unbeliever, if they are part of a religion, is a God of justice. And they kind of love that God because they think that God gives them an opportunity to do good works to offset their sins. But see, that's not loving the true God. That's loving an idol. In fact, if you take a look at every religion in the world, it shows that these are people who really hate the true God, and therefore they have devised a God that in reality is in their image, which they can control. But why do they want to control him? Because they also understand that they probably deserve eternal condemnation. So they invent a religion where they can offset that by their good works. This is really important, that a proper preacher of the gospel will ask, "Do you know that you are lost and condemned sinners and you cannot find the help you are seeking?" See? Then, when a person recognizes that, you can give him the good news. Jesus receives sinners. There's no need for you to change your behavior. There is no need for you to cleanse yourself first. There is no need for you to improve yourself before you come to Jesus. No, the only one who can improve you is Jesus. And he will, as you believe in him. That the law cannot help you to improve your behavior is clear from Romans 3, verse 20. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. See, no function of the law, no use of the law ever can produce love. It produces the knowledge of sin. And therefore, a person really can have that knowledge even without the love of God. Now, at the time of Martin Luther, the Roman Catholic Church taught, and I still believe they teach that today, that no real contrition can really come from love of God. Only then is your contrition when it comes from love of God. Only then can I preach the gospel to you. But you see, if you already love God, the true God, you don't need the gospel preached to you. You're already saved. The law has only one single function, to lead people to the knowledge of their sins. It has no power to renew people. Only the gospel is regarded as the means of grace. Only faith is active through love. As long as we are uninformed concerning the fact that God has become our reconciled God and Father through Jesus Christ, we will hate the true God. And so therefore, an unconverted person who claims to love God is really stating falsehood. Now, this is really an important item to keep in mind. I remember, and I've talked about this before, where a woman was accosted by two men, and she was unable to forgive. Well, should I give her law or gospel? If she's unable to forgive, all the law would do is put more of a burden upon her. I had to see if there was any fear of God. See, that's what you're looking for. Fear of God. And I found it in talking to her. What she was really worried about is the Sermon on the Mount at the end of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, if you don't forgive the sins of others, God won't forgive you. Wow. Now, it was impossible for her to forgive those who had done against her what they did. But I saw fear in her feelings, in her mind, fear of God that she was going to go to hell. And that's when you gave the gospel. Now, what was the gospel? Yes, it could include the forgiveness of sins, but her real problem was a sin of omission. That is, she could not forgive. And what's the gospel there? Well, the gospel is you don't have to forgive. What? Because you're wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. When a person gets to the point where they fear God, and remember, Luther begins the meanings of the commandments, we should fear and love God. And that's what he's talking about here. That when we understand what true fear of God is, that is godly repentance. And that's why Jesus was giving the gospel to people who hadn't changed their minds about God. Because it was only through hearing the gospel that their minds would be changed. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, I think this is such an important subject that we're going to continue it with Wes Reimnitz, because there's so much more to be said here. We say an awful lot about how a person can come to hear the law, but we don't say that much about when is it time to give the gospel. And I dare say that even most Christians will be confused on this, thinking that you give the gospel when somebody's truly repentant. No, because the law never brings true repentance. Only the gospel does. By the way, if you want us to continue here on KFUO, Law and Gospel is a separate program from your regular giving to KFUO. And we would encourage anybody to become a day sponsor this week. They're really pushing that, but that money goes directly to KFUO. If you want Law and Gospel to continue, please listen at the end of this program how you might be able to send us a check. God bless.
At this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.